You'll find our scripture reading printed on the back of your bulletin for today. When I was a student in seminary, there were certain days and certain classes and certain lectures from our professors that stayed with me on a personal level. Professor Mark Harsted was teaching in the seminary in the days that I was there. And I remember him guiding us through this psalm, the words of Psalm 73. And this was one of those days for me that really stands out, not only to sit at his feet as such a great Christian instructor, but more so to have the concepts and thoughts of this psalm impressed on my mind and my heart so well. So today, with that in mind, I'd like to have a sort of walk through this psalm, if you will. And at the beginning of this, it's called a Psalm of Asaph. At the beginning of this, the writer is expressing how it is as a believer that when he looks at the trouble in the world, sometimes it's hard for him to even hold on to his faith. And he's kind of on the brink of unbelief, if you will. And when he looks at the imbalance of good and evil that is in the world. Let's hear the first portion of the psalm. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. The Hebrew there means to be fat. You're so fat from eating so much. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than a heart could wish. And when we look out in the world as believers, sometimes this is very troubling for us. And we start to wonder, where is God? Where is the justice that we would expect from God in all of this? Either God seems too weak, or maybe he doesn't exist, or maybe he's just got a mean streak in him. And sometimes it's hard for Christians to look out at what happens with the evil in the world and how those who promote evil in the world seem to advance. This is so challenging for us. He goes on. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. One of the biggest proponents of atheism today, and one of the strongest opponents of the Christian faith and the biblical belief, is Dr. Richard Dawkins from England. He has made it his career to try to destroy Christianity in the hearts of young men and women. He's worth about $135 million. When I consider him in comparison to certain women that I've had in congregations where I've served, where they are trying so hard as a single parent to raise their children in the faith, had their husbands run out on them, and they're dedicated to their Lord and teaching his commandments to their children and trying to serve the church in any way they can, living just above the welfare line. When we consider that kind of an imbalance and we look at what goes on in the world, it's really puzzling for the believer. When we see those who blatantly defy God in their unbelief, and then how so often those who are in the church are struggling and wrestling with things. This is hard for the believer to compute and to put together. The writer of the psalm then goes on. He says about himself, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. When the believer looks at this imbalance that's out there in the world, it's troubling to his heart. And he looks at himself and thinks, here I am trying to listen to the word of God and repent of my sins and come back to God's forgiveness in Christ. And I'm trying to follow the word of God and stand up for that. But it doesn't seem to get me anywhere. In fact, a lot of times it maybe even seems to set me back in life. And boy, is that true in our culture today. Trying to be obedient to our Savior and what he's done for us and be sheep that follow the voice of the Good Shepherd today, that's hard. And sometimes it even works against us in our lives. He goes on, "If I had said, 'I will speak thus,' behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful to me." He's almost saying, what I'm saying here almost sounds like complete blasphemy and heresy for the church. I better make sure not to say this to the church because it might mislead people in their faith. But he's having such a challenging time resolving this difficult thought. But then there's the turning point in the psalm. And I remember Professor Harstead telling us, this is the pivot. This is the pivoting point in the psalm. Look what he says. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." And he says to God, "Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation. As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image." Finally, when the believer goes into the sanctuary of God and is confronted with the Word of God, the divine truth from heaven, and learns about the eternal justice that is coming on the unbeliever, and the beautiful, glorious hope of heaven that is given to the faithful, then suddenly this is all resolved. Coming into the sanctuary of God is where we stay in reality. You know, the world likes to tell us that the Christian faith is out of step with reality. What irony. This is the one place. This is the one place in the presence of God, in his sanctuary and hearing his word, where you are truly in touch with reality. The reality of death, the reality of justice from God, the reality of judgment, but the reality of his salvation that he's given us in Christ and the hope that we have of heaven, knowing our sins are forgiven in him. Please rise and join with me in the final portion, which we will use as our prayer today, the final portion of this psalm. "You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works."